Our scripture for this morning comes from Micah 6:8, and this is the New Revised Standard Version. He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. I will let you know that even up to 2 or 3 minutes ago, God has been working on this sermon. So it has come to me in bits and pieces, and we will see how it all comes together here. So would you go to God with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. The motto of the deaconess and home missioner is love, justice, and service. We are lay men and women who are called by God to be in a lifelong relationship with God and the church. We are called to full-time vocation in the ministries of love, justice, and service. We are faith leaders in a covenant community rooted in Scripture, informed by history, driven by mission, ecumenical in scope, and global in outreach. Paragraph 1314.1 of the Book of Discipline states, deaconesses and home missioners have various roles of service directed toward the world to make Jesus Christ known in the fullness of ministry and mission, which mandate that his followers, A, alleviate suffering, B, eradicate causes of injustice and all that robs life of dignity and worth, C, facilitate the development of full human potential, and D, share in building global community through the church universal. We're expected to lead our faith communities by example and advocate for the church and all people. We're required to take courses either at St. Paul School of Theology in Oklahoma City on their campus, or in Asheville, North Carolina, at the Brooks Howell Home, in remote learning or online through Zoom. We participate in a prayerful discernment process. We grow deeper in our faith and discover our calling as a faith leader in the church. The office of deaconess has been a part of the United Methodist tradition since 1888. In 2004, General Conference established the office of home missioner to provide lay men with the opportunity to serve in a lifetime relationship in the church. The office of deaconess and home missioner is the only currently active recognized office in the United Methodist Church for those called to full-time vocations in servant ministries as laity. We are consecrated by a bishop to a lifetime of service under the authority of the church. Our ministries may be in church-related vocation or in a helping profession. Current ministries include, but are not limited to, issues relating to prison, environment, refugees, immigration, health care, education, homelessness, women and children, youth and families, senior adults, peace with justice, and a wide variety of church and community ministries. I am currently on the board of Brothers for Christ and am mentoring the recovery ministry for Harmony and Hope House in Bristol, Tennessee. We just recently, for 15 years before this, I was the administrator for Bristol Recovery Road. which was also a recovery ministry. And we just recently gave that to the Brothers for Christ. I also coordinate and lead music at Enterprise United Methodist Church in Piney Flats, and I help with the children's programs there. In 2016, the Office of Deaconess and Home Missioner officially became recognized as an order of the church. While the United Methodist Church is struggling as a denomination, the order continues to grow. We face new challenges with the uncertainty of the future of the United Methodist Church. Even though the church is divided, the Order of Deaconess and Home Missioner is committed to living into their calls to love, justice, and service, and will continue to be a diverse community for all laity to serve. We had 60 new deaconesses and home missioners consecrated in May, and I was one of those. We have 160 deaconesses and home missioners in the United States on top of that, and 400 in the Philippines. There are 108 retired deaconesses in the United States. We are consecrated. We are not ordained. And we are a part of the United Methodist Women, which has a new name, Women of Faith. United Methodist Women rebranded in March, changing the name to United Women of Faith. This is to hopefully attract new, younger members and invite those of other denominations to join. So it's branching. The focus on the welfare of women and children and youth will remain. The corporate name will continue to be United Methodist Women, but doing business as United Women of Faith. This change is motivated by a strong desire for women's mission efforts to remain connected despite whatever may happen with the United Methodist Church. No units will be forced to adopt the new name. You can stay United Methodist Women if you choose. On the reason for the change, younger women knew about UMW, but couldn't see themselves as members. UMW gave the impression we're all older, not flexible to younger women, and younger women didn't feel in alignment with what women were seeking, even though our concentration is on helping women, children, and youth. So they have created a new website to create interest in mission work and allow women of other faiths to join without having to belong to the United Methodist congregation. A new focus will be on nurturing women's bodies, minds, and spirits. Mission U will have revamped curriculum, which can be used in small groups, local churches, vacation Bible schools, retreats, and other settings. And in about 6 years, I will be the dean for Mission U. New online interactive resources and targeted giving options are also becoming available. They are independent, and they're headquartered in New York City at Riverside Drive. This is a quote from the United Methodist Board President. Together, we are creating more opportunities for engagement with more women through new programs and updates of long-standing programs that embody our core values. Things change. People change. But God remains. And that continues to be the purpose behind everything that we do in the organization. Now, on to the scripture. He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. The dictionary defines justice as just behavior or treatment, the maintenance or administration of what is just, especially by the impartial adjustment of conflicting claims or assignment of merited rewards or punishment. But this is the most important: the quality of being just, impartial, and fair. Righteousness, right action, conforming to the law, correctness, truth, fact or reason. In biblical days, individuals mentioned in connection with doing justice are widows, orphans, immigrants, and the poor. In our times, that includes those that don't look like us or whose socioeconomic class is lower than middle Americans. Injustice is often worse in other parts of the world. In parts of Asia, a widow is cursed and blamed for her husband's death, and she's shunned by the community and family. And we know human trafficking is increasing both here and abroad. One way to combat this is to tell the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to people the world over. Jesus transforms people from their hearts, and they begin to want to do what is right, to stop the abuse. The gospel is for all who are oppressed. God is for the forgotten, the beat down, the shut out, and the left behind. But in addition to the gospel, what can God's people do to defend the cause of the oppressed? Now, there are two types of justice. There is retributive, which involves punishment for those who break laws, such as incarceration, and restorative, which involves bringing wholeness to the victims of crimes. Both are equally important. And in this polarized society, it's not always okay to see how both parts are important. We must be aware that both issues are important. Those who break our laws must face justice for their behaviors. And those who are incarcerated need someone who will bring the good news of Jesus to them. This is the prison ministry and those who work in recovery, helping them to reestablish their lives when they serve their time and are released. But it can't stop there. Churches need to embrace these individuals, creating a web of family that can encourage them to continue rehabilitating their lives, helping them get established, providing ways to encourage health and well-being. Churches also need to be ready to step up for those immigrants who make their way here. They need the same framework in place to help them succeed. They are people who most likely do not have language skills and recognized abilities here in this country. About 20 years ago, my church adopted one of those immigrant families. They are all citizens now. 5 children have gone all the way through the education system, and I have taught and touched the lives of every one of them. One is a teacher and a coach. One is a lawyer, and 3 are still in school. The parents, because the children adopted them, were able and helped financially and able to learn English and eventually buy a house. The father worked lots of jobs and went to school to learn English, to learn a new skill that was accepted here in the United States, and to support the family. They still have connections in Haiti, and they have a school mission to help children get an education and help with room and board. So the second part, kindness, becomes apparent as we reach out to support, to provide services, to provide friendship to those underserved in our communities. Not necessarily a hand out, but a hand up. Churches can provide meals with fellowship on a regular basis. COVID shut down a lot of that. But we need to remember there are many who are suffering as the cost of gas and food continues to rise. Monetary donations to Red Cross and UMCOR help with the disaster relief. Donations to food pantries help those who are struggling to provide food for their families. Kindness can be seen in so many places. Currently, I have a friend undergoing cancer chemo treatments. I try to provide friendship to get her out to eat when she can and to check on her daily. Kindness can boost spirits. Kindness can mean the most for someone who's suffering. Lastly, walk humbly with your God. This involves your own relationship with Him. How do you build your relationship? Read your Bible, meditate on what you read, surrender your will to God, and allow Him time to speak to you. That means having quiet time to listen, to hear if He speaks. You can't be constantly busy. Have you ever had someone come into your thoughts during the day? Maybe multiple times during a day. That's most likely the Holy Spirit speaking that name to you. Reach out. Often you'll find they need prayer or just maybe even somebody to talk to because they've got a problem and they're trying to deal with it. And lastly, we cannot forget the victims of abuse and crime. Abuse Alternatives helps women who are suffering abuse. Families are hurting because someone in their family has been murdered or raped or suffered some other abuse. They need our church support. We need to be ready to step up to support them through the funerals, the trials, help them find counseling and grief support they may need. Don't leave them at the funeral. They may be angry with God, and that's okay. Give them time to work through those emotions. Help them to stay committed, stay connected to the church. Be an ear to listen and a guide to help them find ways to deal with their hurts. God's there for them. Pray for them. He listens. There are many more ways that you can follow Micah 6:8. I knew you supported Corinna as she became a deaconess. I am also Tammy Bennington's aunt, so I know about James being here. I appreciate this opportunity to speak to you. But look around you. Don't be blind to the needs around you. Let God speak to your hearts. Maybe He will direct you to another very important ministry that you can embrace. And I want to end with this story. And this came to me at 11 o'clock last night. It's called Be the Yellow Pumpkin. A few years ago, a family wanted to eat at a popular restaurant on vacation at the beach. Unfortunately, when they arrived, they found out the wait was going to be 2 hours long. Well, they quickly decided, because of young children, that they must find another option. So calling around, one restaurant very kindly told them, "Come right on in." Well, when they arrived, the first thing they saw was the place was beautifully decorated for fall. What stood out was a beautiful, bright yellow pumpkin right in the middle of the decorations. Well, they mentioned it to the hostess, who they found out was the owner, and they discussed how unique it was as they were being seated. She said, "It just stood out at the farmer's market. I just had to get it." They had a wonderful dinner, and throughout the meal, they talked to the hostess, the waitress, other servers, and even the sweet dog. The wife even chatted with others as she went to the bathroom. They talked of children, families, the beach, miscarriages, adoption, traveling, dogs, church, and mission trips, but mostly Jesus and his love kept coming up time and time again. As they were about to leave, the owner came to the table carrying the yellow pumpkin. She explained to us that it had been a very hard day at the restaurant, and she said, "Your family brought God to our restaurant tonight, and that's just what we needed." And she handed them the yellow pumpkin. The wife began to sob. It was such a kind gift, and even kinder words. They carried that pumpkin back home like it was $1 million, and they put it in their foyer so they could see it every day. About a month later, the wife was praying about the family's purpose. They didn't have a ministry. They weren't pastors. They were just ordinary people doing ordinary things. Suddenly, the words, "Be like the yellow pumpkin," came into her mind. She knew exactly what that meant. Stand out, look different, and take Jesus wherever you go. That became the motto for the family. Be like the yellow pumpkin. Going to the store, be the yellow pumpkin. Going to school, be that yellow pumpkin. A tournament, be the yellow pumpkin. Church, be the yellow pumpkin. The park, be the yellow pumpkin. Work, be the yellow pumpkin. Driving, be the yellow pumpkin. Wherever we go, be the yellow pumpkin. The owner thought she was handing them a pumpkin, but what she was actually handing them was a reminder, a calling, a mandate. That you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Matthew 5:14-18. May we all do the same. Stand out. Be Christ wherever you are. Look different. Let your light shine. Take Jesus wherever you go. And trust that whatever or wherever he places you is right. Right where he calls you to be. So go and be the yellow pumpkin. Now, I would like to ask you to stand and to sing with me a children's song. And I know you all know it. But it goes, this is what God gave me on the way down here. So this is my first change for today. I would like for you to sing with me "This Little Light of Mine." This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, this little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out, I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out, I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Would you go to prayer with me, please? Father, speak to us. Show us the needs of our communities. Give us the knowledge and understanding, the compassion to help those around us. Strengthen those deaconesses and home missioners who are serving around the world. In your name, guide your churches to follow what is your will and give all compassion to serve you. Show us how to be that yellow pumpkin. In Jesus' name.